It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Fear, because I know what's coming. I know what's coming. A reckoning's coming. Reckoning. It always does. Because you got bad guys being bad, and sooner or later, the good guys go, you know what? You're making me put my beer down, aren't you? You're going to make me put my beer down. I'm going to put my beer down. I'm going to go get off my couch, turn off the TV, I'm going to do some ass whooping. But yeah, you're going to make me do it, aren't you? And then, when do they sit down? When they're done. They're not going to sit down until they're done. Throughout history, once it starts, it doesn't stop until one side or the other is vanquished. And you never have the bad guys in there. Well, let's put it this way. It may be a Pyrrhic victory. Maybe they can claim a W, but they're going to be damaged. And then, later, if it's not finished, it'll get finished later. But you never, ever have a repressive regime like we have now that will rob us blind and the next generation blind, the unborn blind, rob them blind, and then we love them. They represent us. Because the world is becoming, it's not this one world government thing. It's a one world conscious thing. It's this consciousness of just, especially the young people. Heck, even if you don't speak Chinese, you communicate directly using Google Translator. They're just like, it's all good. I wonder what happened with Google. They threatened to, we'll just pull out of China. You want us to pull out of China? You want us just to, be censoring and collecting all your data and all these people are doing searches on Google search engine in China? We're not, but we'll leave. We're going to leave. And they went, maybe not. So I don't know what's going on with that. We'll check on that. Let me write that down. China censorship Google. Because that is a interesting story. Because, if it's going there, the state power kind of thing, it's either already happening here or it's going to. There is a cultural awakening. This is what I've been fighting. That's what the Lovelution is all about. It is not about, let's go change the guys behind the levers of power. Let's go change. We got to get congressmen on our side. Are you freaking stupid? They were picked because they'll never be on our side. They may act like they are. And I see this happen in Parliament. The British Parliament is a perfect example of this. It's like clockwork. This is how it works. All of a sudden, you'll have one of the prime, what do they call them, ministers of parliament. So you have one of these MPs, MPMs, whatever, one of these guys. They come up and they say, the people, you're right, man. These guys need to be replaced. They're bad. They're evil. Right? They're in the belly of the beast and part of it and whatever. I've got religion. I'm free to my mind. I want to support y'all. Then you have a new coalition built. They go, he gets elected, and a couple of new guys, they build it, and then they have the majority in parliament, and they'll bring in some other little coalition of a third or fourth or fifth, group of people, and then they build up a majority, and then they elect the prime minister. Okay? That's how that works. And it's always for the people. You guys are right. They were bad. We're going to come in. We represent y'all. Do they? They were the ones that were inside. It's just another distraction. It's just another, the cameras never come down. They got, 4 million in England, 500,000 in London, that we know of. Oh, man. So how do we change it? Let me tell you, this last weekend I was in New Orleans, and I went to from New Orleans, I went to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where the Mississippi State Libertarian Party had their convention I spoke at. And while I'm up there, a lot of the young people had left to go see Dr. Paul speak at the Southern Republican Leadership Conference. This is kind of like CPAC thing. You know, this is a big snaking deal because we have Mitt Romney. Man, he needs to get a W under his belt somewhere. This CPAC thing, 33% to his 22% at CPAC against Ron Paul. Man, they were like, oh, heck no. Well, Sarah Palin down at 7%. We got to do some stacking, some bussing, some something. So what do? They, you know, Mitt Romney's got some cash. He opens up the pocketbook. We call them bus dollars. He may not have been a bus, but he had dollars like it was a bus. So they're paying for people to go. Yeah, you want to go? Cool. You vote for me, pinky swear. All right. Here's your, we're paying for your entry fee. All right. So they go in. Romney was worried. There was no way that he could go and speak and be a part of this thing and then lose to Paul. That was just, oh, heck no. That would have been bad. So they figured they, you know, if they could get a close second or even win and him not be there, that'd be better. So he didn't go. So what happens? You have 1,800 and something people cast their votes, and it's 20%, 24% Mitt Romney, 24% Ron Paul. 439 for Mitt Romney, 438 for Ron Paul. And I trust that. What happened behind the scenes? Behind the scenes, as we, after did the speaking engagement for the Mississippi Libertarian Party thing, then we went, and, you know, the next door there was a big club and a bar and, you know, and the high, college kind of deal. We were rock and roll and whatnot and yakking it up. And right about then is when some of the young people from Campaign for Liberty and the Young Libertarians and so on that had, you know, they said, let's see, Ernie speaking, Ron Paul, I think I'll go Ron Paul. So they went down the 2-hour drive to go hear Ron Paul speaking. So they went down there and they go, we're here to sign up. We got all our goodies. We, you know, checked off all the boxes, ready to go. Oh, yeah, well, you need to go up the third floor. Then the third floor said, no, you need to go down to the, second floor. Oh, no, the first floor, back and forth there, you know, for like an hour. They said, they're just, you know, saying, what the heck, man? We need to go. Boom. Then they go, oh, I'm so sorry. You missed a deadline for signing in. Really? They're, oh, so you want to play. They had up to, you know, 50, 60 people sitting in the foyer out there, you know, coming out there, knew they'd been screwed, right? So all of a sudden, it's like, you know, it's within a, you know, a few minutes of Dr. Paul is going to be up there speaking. So it's, you know, they know they can just make the noise. You are going to know they were there. Finally, they come out and they go, okay. We'll let you in here. We got some empty seats up there. You guys can go in over here. 2 minutes before Dr. Paul spoke. Okay. They go in, boom, they got Dr. Paul. He does his spiel. Then it's, you know, then you got the hecklers in the crowd going, yeah, you know, about on foreign policy, you know, in Israel. And all this. It's always, you know, the third rail Israel. You can't even talk about, you know, stop sending foreign aid to anybody. Certain, sure as heck not Israel. Oh, closing military bases. Oh, heck no. No, we got to project up their industrial complex power out and, you know, and kill them. You know, kill them because we want them dead. All right. So this is, you know, you do any of that kind of stuff and you got somebody out there giving what for. So what happens? You know, the Ron Paul guys, Ron Paul. I mean, you know, you want to have this battle? We'll have a battle with you. So these young minds that are the college kids and so on, they're in their early 20s, late teens, they go down there and they see this like they did for the past couple of years of how this really works, how managed this whole thing is. Hours go by before they announce, you know, who won. Well, I could tell you what's going to happen. Mitt Romney's going to be declared the winner by one vote. It was always, I went to the Iowa straw poll. I saw they did the same thing there. It's such a joke. And you, to think that these young people aren't going to have an effect by this, they're like, are you serious? But what was interesting is they did kind of a ranked choice thing. So you have, you know, who's your second choice? You have 24% goes to Mitt, 24% goes to Ron Paul. Second choice, first place, Sarah Palin with 20%. Newt Gingrich with 20%. Mitt Romney with 14%. Mike Huckabee with 11%. It goes down. Ron Paul, 6% of the people, second choice. What does that tell you? It tells you that you got a hardcore Ron Paul guys, and it's Ron Paul and none of these other guys. And these other guys are like their favorite guy, but heck no, not Ron Paul. All right? Only 6% of the people that voted for someone else first would say, all right, you know, Ron Paul would be, you know, a second choice. You know, I'm surprised that high. Because, you know, what are they looking for? I'm not even sure. Let's go like kill them more strategic bombing. I mean, you know what, you know, can't finish. Let's go ahead and blow them up. I don't know what's going on here. So what happens Friday, the day before this? Two things. We had Glenn Beck, all of a sudden, Mr. Libertarian, coming out and endorsing, before we even had the 2010 election cycle, he's endorsing Mitt Romney already. But then we had Jesse Ventura on CNN sitting in for Larry King, having Dr. Paul on. Are they going to replace Larry King with Jesse Ventura? Ooh, would that be a game changer? The world is changing, y'all.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It just ain't the same. Always in change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs. Chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really, what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. Where's the love, y'all? Come on, I don't know. Where's the truth, y'all? Come on, I don't know. Where's the love, y'all?
I love this song. You know, my daughter, Sierra, she went to Black Eyed Peas concert just a couple weeks ago, and she said, Dad, you got to listen to this song. Well, I've heard it before playing on the radio and so on, but I never really paid attention to the lyrics, beautiful lyrics. And this was done back in 2002. And Black Eyed Peas, you know, they made their name on this. And this is just, it's another continuation of the same theme that we've had throughout history. You know, there's people out there that are like, hey, man, you know, what up? You know, can we not, be for advocating killing people? Killing people's like bad, right? You know, can we, you know, what about, where's love, y'all? I don't know. Well, I tell you where I know it's at. A lot of the people that I deal with, you know, these young people, they know. Well, let's go ahead and have, here's Fox News. They are talking about the straw poll. I guess this came out Saturday night or something after everything was done. And they're doing their best. Oh, it's a Mitt Romney thing. They just couldn't handle another loss. It just wasn't going to happen. So here we go.
A Fox News alert, and as promised, the results of the straw poll in New Orleans at the Republican conference. Carl Cameron standing by with the latest. Carl, so how's it looking?
Hi, Eric. Well, we've got the results finally. There were 1,806 ballots cast here at the Southern Republican Leadership Council Conference. Pardon me while I balance some of my props here on the various different equipment. 1,806 ballots is a pretty good sample for any survey, and these represent people from about 14 different states across the South. There were about 2,000 to 3,000 people who actually attended, and the winner is Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, the 2008 Republican presidential nominee runner-up to John McCain, and he managed to do it with 439 votes. Now, what's interesting is Mitt Romney was not here, but his supporters, evangelicals for Mitt, were here in large, large numbers. They passed out piggy banks to point out that Mitt Romney's a successful businessman who they think can be a good economic steward. And it says evangelicals for Mitt. They bought a full-page ad in the program, and there were placards out. Clearly, there was a level of organization here on his behalf by his supporters that helped Mitt Romney a great deal. In second place, only one vote short. Out of 1,806 ballots cast, a one-vote margin, Texas Congressman Ron Paul, a phenomenon in presidential campaigns, a huge and loyal support throng that came here with him today. He had 438. In third place, the catch lightning in a jar candidate in the Republican Party. Whether she's running or not, no one quite knows. Sarah Palin with 330 votes. And in fourth place, the former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. In 1994, he led Republicans to the first House majority in nearly 50 years. He was here talking about trying to keep the focus on the 2010 midterms and then using that as a springboard for 2012. There were a host of other candidates, but there you have it, the top four. Mitt Romney, who was absent, followed by Ron Paul, and then Sarah Palin in third, followed by Newt Gingrich.
Carl Cameron, nicely done, Carl. Thanks so much. All right, hardcore.
Yeah, thanks so much. Hey, you know, and he didn't act like he did during the 08 presidential debates and such, you know, the gentleman that was reporting, because he, you know, he was a real butthead before, you know, and I mean, and he, man, they got it thick from the Ron Paul supporters. Well, this is what was going on from the kids that were actually there. They were saying, look, they were doing everything they could to keep him out. And they just, there were so many that it was just going to be so disruptive, just them being in the foyer. I mean, you know, outside the door, they're just saying, this isn't going to work out. You know, it's not going to be like we thought. We got to let them in, man. This is just not working. So I'm going, okay. So they were college students. You know, most of the young men that I talked to and so in their late teens, early 20s, you know, they were savvy. You know, one of the heads of the leader of the Campaign for Liberty group that went up there, and there was a young American for Liberty guys there also, and I got to talk to these young men, and they were sitting there having some brewskis and hamburgers, and they were just telling me what happened, all the stuff that was going on. It was fascinating. They knew from last week that the manipulation of precious metal prices and all this kind of stuff going, they had knowledge of it. They wanted to know if I knew. I'm like, oh my goodness, how'd you guys know? Oh, we keep track of this and that and so on. You know, some guys go to Freedom's Phoenix. Some guys have their own sources. Some guys, you know, they see this coming. They're really following this Austrian economics thing. They come at it not from, you know, I mean, of course, a lot of them are for freedom and peace and all that kind of stuff. A lot of them is from economics. They know what's coming. So they're like, ooh, how do you raise them chickens? Got chickens? Well, I do. You know, in the middle of Phoenix, I got six chickens backyard in the garden making going on and my juicing from the carrots in my garden and eggs, you know, when I need them for this and trading and kind of, you know, you don't have an excuse. I'm in the middle of Phoenix, okay? And chickens are easy. And I use that just as an example because we're going to have to sustain ourselves. We're going to have to start trading with each other. We're going to have to, when the dollar goes, got enough silver? You know, what happened to silver prices and so on? I mean, I can just take a look right now. You know, I didn't even look. Let's go ahead and look at gold and silver. This is going to be, what was it? It was 15-something, just a little bit, last week or something. What are we at now? You know, it's 1820, and it was 1860 earlier today. You know, and it's down to 1820 now, but I'm like, woo-wee. God, let's check gold, man. What up? We have gold is now 1156. Remember, it was, you know, they went just below 1,000, you know, and it's now up 150 something dollars. I'm going, you know, man, it's, you know, 1100 is rarely does it go below 11 anymore. Now it's, you know, much higher. So I'm going, where you got your money in the dollar? Do you? Yeah, people could criticize me. Are you going to be given, you know, economic advice when I'm telling people get out of the stock market and buy silver? I mean, if you're dumb like I am, I mean, I don't know. I can sit there and what? You know, try and predict what bad guys are going to do? The only thing I know is they're going to keep destroying the dollar. You know, over the long run, it's, you know, give me some commodity. Give me something right after you buy food. You know, make sure you got your food covered and whatever you need to protect your food. And then you go, okay. You know, I if I'm going to store my wealth somewhere, it's not even going to make you money. This doesn't make you any money. It goes, you know, silver can go stupid and go $200. So what? Still going to buy you about the same amount of thing, but at least it can. Instead of all of a sudden the money that you had, you know, buy you a fraction of what you could with it before. Heck, you're going to be rich just so you can buy anything. This is just the beginning. We have all this, green shoots, BS. This is not, and these young people know it. They know it. They understand it. They're planning for it. They're living it. There's no jobs for them. Either they continue their education or they start planning for own activism a couple of years. Yeah, man, we got some years here. We'll just hang. You know, we can help our families. We can do that. We all live together. They're bunking it. You know, they don't have a bunch of kids and bills and mortgages and all that kind of stuff. Some of them might have student loans, you know. But other than that, they're unencumbered. They can go be revolutionaries. Ooh, and you wonder how you have revolutions. This is how it happens. So what do we do? I don't know. We've got Glenn Beck. What's he doing? You know, this is what I've been saying. It's controlled opposition, those Tea Party thing they're trying. I go speak in Las Vegas on tax day, April 15th in Las Vegas this Thursday, and there'll be thousands of people. They're doing ads all over, you know, the radio in Las Vegas. Keynote speaker, Ernest Hancock. Hello. I'm going to free you. Are you? I'm going to be hailed. And they went and, you know, saw some of my other Tea Party speeches, and they go, yeah, what he said. I'm like, sure, absolutely. Bring it on. Let's go do it. Now, what are they going to have? They have, like, Congressman J.D. Hayworth, you know, ex-congressman. Now he's running for U.S. Senate against McCain here in Arizona. You know, told me they're going to be inviting him. I go, yeah, I know J.D. Went to church together. We are not on the same side. That's why the first thing I go, you know, I get up to any of these events, and I go, first thing, I'm not with any of these guys. And what I have to say, it's going to be really obvious. But so what do the youth have to say? You know, there's a lot of things coming. You know, Glenn Beck endorses Romney. We haven't even got to the 2010 election cycle yet. Why? I mean, you know, some people are saying it's a Mormon thing, you know, but I'm going, because they're both, I'm going, oh, it goes deeper than that, I'm sure.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Because I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star, leaping through the sky like a tiger.
Yeah, and a couple more laws if I can get away with it. Yeah, we're going to, oh, man, who's making these laws? You know what, all I feel, all I see, all I know is, you know, it's the left jackboot or right jackboot and jackboot on my throat party. I'm going, you just keep doing that up. What do you think is going to happen? Huh? You going to motivate some people? Are you? An entire flipping generation of we ain't buying your BS? You know, think about it. You had the last election cycle in 08. I saw this. I lived it for years. I'm still living it. These are young people in their 20s. They're born after 1980. They come of age with the internet. They, for the first time in human history, they have an entire generation that started having testosterone and estrogen just pumped into their system. They're already questioning authority. You know, and let me tell you, the first person they question all the time is mom and dad. I mean, it doesn't matter what mom and dad says. You only get smarter after, you know, they get older. But you think they're questioning the authority of the TV, of their mandatory youth indoctrination camp leaders, and otherwise known as teachers in the public school system? You think they're questioning them a little bit, just a little bit? They're looking for the truth, and then their friends say, hey, I go check this video out, go look at this YouTube, go look at this candidate, go look at this. You know, it's all crap. So they go and they check. They find out the simple things about nutrition, high fructose corn syrup. They go, well, that sucks. You know, what about nutrition? You know, what about, you know, getting a job? What about taxes? What about all this stuff starting to affect them? You know, what about just getting a summer job? What about? What career do I do? What am I educated? All of a sudden, they're finding out, what the heck? And now you have another generation that's coming up. It's 4 years later. These kids are, you know, say 18, they're 22. You know, they're kind of in the high school, beginning of college and so on, college, you know, early 20s. You know, they're not going to tell their younger brothers and sisters or friends, the people that are younger. Now, how many election cycles for president do you think go by before you have, you know, people that have been through three election cycles? You go into three election cycles, how long does that take? Like 10 years? You're into the third election cycle for president? 10 years? You're 18 to 28, 18 to 32. You see my point? These, an entire 10-year swath of people going, I know the truth. We know the truth. We know the truth. Uh-huh. How do you deal with that? What do you do? I don't know. Bad guy's going to come up with something. They're going to come up with something. You know, I mean, and you can't let your imagination be limited. I mean, it could be crazy, stupid, all kinds of sci-fi stuff. You know, they have, I mean, things like reading your mind, changing your mind, getting you thinking of certain things on a certain level for certain reasons. Really? You don't think so? Matrix. Intel wants brain implants in its customers' heads by 2020. There are still more implications to creating a seamless brain interface besides having more cyborgs running around. If scientists can translate brainwaves into specific actions, there's no reason they could not create a virtual world. They're already doing this. You put a helmet on, you can sit there. They have a game to where you have a ball, like a ping pong ball, that's suspended by air. And depending on your theta waves, you're just sitting there, your mind, you're controlling it moving around. It's like a game that you use using your brain waves that are red. Then they have them in the airports. They start to read your emotions. They start to read thoughts and words. Even now, there was an episode of House, the popular TV show about diagnosing disease people and so on. My wife and I like it. They had in there, you know, where for 6-7 hours, they just have you sitting in a chair showing you all these images, and then they could just sit back and you sit, let you think, and they can see what you're thinking about. Now, not later, right freaking now. How bad is it going to get? So any conspiracy, you know, pick it. 9/11, chemtrails, brain reading, watching UFO, whatever, anything. I got one question. Can they use whatever this technology or ability to maintain and enhance or expand their scope and intrusiveness and power into your lives to control you? Can they? Then they are. What's their moral hurdle on this stuff? Oh, we can lie ourselves into war. You know, we can kill, murder, rape, whatever. You know, but we wouldn't do like election fraud because that'd be wrong. Where do you think that the stop on these people are? You are the stop. This next generation is a stop. They know this. Why do you think they're just flooding MTV with just blah, 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 blah? You know, green this and, you know, whatever that. Oh, and by the way, get out there and rock the vote. So what do we have? You know, things like and stupid stuff, this green thing, green, 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 green. Energy Star rating given to gas-powered clock radio and 14 other bogus products. Yeah, but it's a really efficient gas engine clock. You know, this is the kind of stuff that it's just all a game. You know, you think these young people don't know this? Heck, the ones that read Freedom City sure as heck do. Because where do you think I get this stuff? They send it to me. You know, I don't have this radar screen that's this wide. Freedom's Phoenix is as popular as it is, and all the stuff that you get on there is not because of what I go out and see. It's what everybody else feeds to us. What they get to be their own reporter, their own writers, and they put this stuff up. There is a revolution already underway. And we had written off, I'll tell you right now, for years, even from the mid-90s, early 90s, when I was a young man doing all this stuff, you know, what did I say? I go to the older generation, I'm just waiting for them to die off. They're already done. They're programmed. They're in the system. There's nothing I can do. I can't help. I don't know what to do. I'm just, you know, waiting, younger generation. That's why I focused on Loveolution, doing, you know, younger, 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 and it's going to be a powerful force. But what I did see is there was a lot, it was smaller numbers, but people with experience, people that were woken up, people that had an ethical background, that understood what was happening, that were the mentors of these people. You know, people older than me, people that mentored me. These people, I mean, they may have been, you know, a small percentage, 10% of the people out there, but they were vital to this. They just understood. Then we found out, as I'm starting to do a lot of these tea parties, you know, you have a lot of older people. And they have, you know, average age of some of these places, like numerous, it's over 70. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, there wasn't anybody with that white hair. So I'm going, you know, you don't even have to acknowledge this. I already know. Right now, compared to 2 years ago, you're worth probably less than half. You don't have the resources. Inflation's kicking up. I mean, they took, you know, energy and housing and food off the inflation index so that it wouldn't show up. But, I mean, you know, don't you? Got budgets? Do you? No? You got it? Do you understand? How bad's it going? Is it going to get worse? Do you take whatever assets you know, you wait for it to go up? Stock market's creeping up. Stock market's creeping up. Inflated dollars, but, you know, it doesn't matter. I go, well, what are you going to put it in? You just want to retain something. You know, what? Food, ammo, guns, silver, gold, precious metals, something other than just the faith and credit of the American government. You know, how long is that going to hold out? But I saw that they really got into these DVDs. I mean, we had a bunch there. I only had like 75 the first time. I didn't even think of it. I just had a bunch laying around here at the workshop. I just took them with me. And from that, we got orders for hundreds of them. They just say, oh, we want. I go, oh. So we put out the word talking about it. Had 50,000 blank DVDs ordered. We just shipped another 2,000 to the students in Alabama. I don't know, Birmingham something. You know, the guys I met Saturday night. They go, yeah, we got a tea party this Thursday. You ship them to us, we'll put them up. It costs us hundreds of dollars to do this. But I got these kids are going to be passing these out for free. Okay, done. Campaign for Liberty, Young Americans for Liberty. I mean, I'm going, you know, done. Well, push the Donna button right here. I go, you see this button right here? We're at the bar. We're out there. You know, it's like a house. You know, it's like an ammo house kind of thing. You know, there's a nice place and burgers and so on. And I said, I push this button right here. That goes to the secret Donna button right here. You want to push it? It's done. But you got to commit. You're going to put them out. Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. We're all over it. We'll put a little card. We'll put them in the sleeve. We'll do it. I go, all right, boom. Pushed it. Handed them the Bluetooth. You got to sit and order them. Did it. Boom. Done. She just sent out. That's it. That's how we roll. Got another 1,000 we'll take up to Las Vegas. Who's going to be at these tea parties? There'll be a lot of young people, some of the, you know, especially at the university ones and so on. But you go to these, you know, they're senior citizens. They're people in their RVs. They're people, you know, we're worried about America. You know, we're, you know, what up? They're looking for answers. Give them DVDs. What do they got? You know, Obama Deception, the Alex Jones movie, got Freedom and Fascism. Aaron Russo's movie, America from Freedom and Fascism. We got For Liberty, the Ron Paul Revolution documentary. You watch those three movies, you are messed up for the rest of your life. You will not buy the BS anymore. You will be exposed to enough truth that you will not believe their crap. How powerful is that? Just don't believe their crap. Why do you think they're going after guys like Alex Jones? You know, why don't they go after me? What makes you think they don't? Hey, yeah, I get Senate Appropriations Chairman here in Arizona declaring I'm a domestic terrorist. You know, because we derailed his ability. Well, certainly they keep pushing it back. One national ID here in Arizona, and we go really. So we informed everybody. That's an act of domestic terrorism, just telling people the factual facts about, you know, a bill before these deliberative bodies. That's, you know, you can't have that kind of free speech, telling people the truth and not letting us do what we want for our police state. Really? When we come back, some Ron Paul. You see right there.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, what's that mission? Yeah, about some freedom, especially some freedom. I want some truth, justice, and what used to be the American way here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, another independence declaring kind of guy, a little bit for you here from Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul, he's at the Southern Republican Leadership Conference, and, you know, whenever he goes, he's just telling the truth. I can't handle that truth. You can't handle the truth. Because we don't like it. Because it means that we've been bad guys for a long time. Well, you know, he gets up there and starts giving what for this. So here we go, give you a little taste.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It sounds like a freedom rally. Thank you very much. Well, it's great to see so much enthusiasm for the freedom movement and limited government. I want to thank the host of this convention for inviting me. So I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted to be among friends. My wife is here with me today, and I am pleased very much with that, too. You know, this last week, there was a report that came out on Friday, just yesterday. It came from the Treasury. And it was, it even shocked me, even having been concerned about deficits, you know, like about 35 years ago. But yesterday it was reported by the Treasury that this past week, our national debt went up $106 billion in one day. And I would say, it's time to end that kind of spending and get rid of the deficits. getting rid of the deficits is easily said. I guess everybody wants to get rid of the deficits. And, you know, there is an effort in Washington today on our side of the aisle, which is well-intended, might do some good, but I think it comes up way too short. And that is the dwelling on earmarks. Now, let me tell you about earmarks. Earmarks, if you vote against an earmark, you don't save a penny. What you do is you take the responsibility away from the Congress and you give the money to the executive branch, and believe me, they'll waste it even more than the Congress will waste it. But my argument is that earmarks, that is the responsibility of the Congress. We're supposed to designate every single penny that we spend. We're not supposed to let the president do this. I don't like a strong executive branch. I want a strong Congress that exerts its prerogatives. What we need is not to tinker with earmarks, but to vote against the entire package, vote against the appropriation bills until we get this budget under control. Also, the definition of an earmark is very important. They claim that an earmark is when the government takes your highway funds, send it to Washington, and your congressman says, well, why don't we get some of our highway funds back and spend it in our district? That's what they want to stop. But when it comes to an earmark for building an embassy, which we are now doing in London, which is a fortress, it's going to cost us $1 billion. Why are we doing that? It makes no sense whatsoever. At the same time, we're tinkering around with some spending bills here and trying to build a highway. We have spent $1 billion on an embassy in Baghdad. We're spending another $1 billion on an embassy in Kabul. That doesn't make any sense unless you think we have unlimited funds, and we don't. This is the message that is coming today. The reason why the American people have awoken and they are so upset and annoyed and they're acting outside the party system is because the country is broke and the people in Washington won't admit it. We need to admit it, which means you have two choices if you think we should have a balanced budget. One, you raise taxes. I haven't met a Republican in a long time that wants to raise taxes, thank goodness. But the other side of the coin is you cut spending. Now, if we were so good at cutting spending, where were we when we had the chance? Well, we have created as Republicans over the last several decades have created is a credibility gap. We talk a good game, but when we get the chance to do something, we haven't done the job that we should have. I'll tell you what, though, we're doing a better job now in opposition. The credibility is when we get the chance again, which I believe we will, how credible are we going to be? How well are we going to stick to our guns? How significant are we going to be when we take seriously our oath of office? Just think. If we didn't do anything else, then elect individuals who you could trust that would always obey the Constitution, we'd get out of this mess in no time.
In no time. You know, that's just a 7 minutes of a 30-minute speech. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedoms with an S, phoenix.com, and you can watch the whole thing. And, of course, we have it already put up on today's archive. I suggest you go watch it. Tell them the truth. Now, of course, any heckling or opposition you're getting from there is when he starts talking about foreign policy and closing the bases and everything. And, you know, that they're you go, no, we got to go kill some Muslims or something. You know, who are these people? The Mitt Romney people? So this is, you know, but then what did we have just the day before? We had hosting for Larry King on Larry King Live was Jesse Ventura. Whoa, 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 what the heck just happened? And he had Ron Paul on. He had Stephanie Miller. She's a progressive talk show host, and had some, you know, another robo babe up there for the Republicans saying how the Tea Party. No, it's not just, you know, Dick Armey that's doing all this stuff. Well, so what if it is? I mean, you know, it's still, he's not allowed. I mean, and then, we're working on another story. Libertarians are everywhere. We got people, they're golf, you know, caddies, the valets. I mean, they're the bus waiters. I mean, they're everybody. You know what I mean? They're bus boys and so on. They're just everywhere. We hear it all. And what do I start getting, you know, a little inkling of? There's a guy in the, you know, claiming, oh, no, we're the real Tea Party. No, that's not them. It's us. Our group, that's not them. It's us. All the other ones that didn't join the Tea Party Express, all the tea parties that you couldn't get corralled, well, yeah, you were right. You were right. That they're the bad guys. No, we're the real ones. At the same time, this guy, his girlfriend's on the RNC staff. I'm like, I don't know how much more you can be in the RNC. You know what I mean? So I'm just going, whoa. Yeah, you man, you're to be locked in here. Who are we kidding? So I'm going, this, we're going to be finding out about this. We're going to get some more information on this. I want to know exactly what's up. And I'm going to be asking the questions, demanding the answers. Well, here you have Jesse Ventura. He's as he comes back from break, he has the two babes sitting there holding his Jesse Ventura American Conspiracy Theory book or whatever it is, you know, his American Conspiracies. Have it up there. And then they're coming back from break, he's going, how come nobody will review my book? Well, Dr. Paul had something to say about it, too, you know, because he had a book nobody would review.
Well, of course, there's my two guests holding up my new best-selling book, American Conspiracies. And I've got a question now. That book has been on the New York Times top 10 bestseller list now for 4 weeks. Wait. And yet there hasn't been one mainstream review of that book. Why do you think the mainstream media will not do a proper review of my book?
Let me do one right now. Let me just read it real quick. I did Evelyn Wood. Hang on.
Well, you don't have to do that. But why wouldn't they do a review of this book that it's obviously popular? It's selling like crazy. They review every other book, and yet not one mainstream media outlet has reviewed that book yet.
Because that's the problem, Jesse. We're so polarized these days. You know, you've come on my show. You've talked about 9/11. A lot of people have questions about 9/11. That doesn't mean everybody's a kook about it. They have questions, and they feel the 9/11, commission was a whitewash.
I think maybe the media is too busy following Sarah Palin around the country and trying to figure out her next move, and that's why they're just too busy.
I doubt that.
I'm kidding.
Congressman Paul, why do you think they won't review my book?
Yeah. I'm good. Oh, I am not sure, but if you figure it out, I want to know, and then maybe I can get a review of the Revolution, a manifesto, and then we could all be happy.
They wouldn't review your book either?
Well, if it were something, maybe I missed it or something, but I don't remember seeing any significant reviews of it. No, I think everybody's biased. If you have a website or you have a radio talk show, you're biased because you have opinions. There's nothing wrong with that. So when people are in the business of reviewing books, they're very biased, and they reveal that. They feel no obligation to give the people that they disagree with any time. So, that to me is sort of accepted. I think they're just biased, but I don't strongly criticize them for them because I'm very biased with my views. You know, I'm very strong on my views, and I try to do it in a more diplomatic method than exclusion. But they just exclude people that they think will stir up too much controversy.
Too much controversy. You're not allowed to have controversy. You mean truth? You know, something like that. You know, why aren't they doing it? Because they don't have to. They're the ones in control, man. Didn't you know? Didn't you get the memo?